Thank you, Miss Linda. Whisper a Prayer in the Morning. That song reminds me of Daniel's plight when the government and the king was on his case. The Bible says that his east window was open, and he approached his east window three times a day, morning, noon, and night. And of course, he was in trouble at that time. But here's the thing. The Bible says, as he was accustomed to doing, he was already doing it. He made it a point in his life to seek God's blessing in his life. And of course, when things went south, he was already used to doing that. And that's something that we need to remember as we live from day to day. If you have your Bible this morning, turn over to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. You know this story. The story of Noah as he built the ark is well known by everyone. But this morning, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read some select verses. And we're going to talk about Noah's response to what God wanted him to do. I think this is very relevant. Each of us, you know, we don't hear audible sounds from God. He's mighty enough he could make it happen. He's chosen to reveal himself through his word. And I believe he speaks to us and he tells us things through his word. Some of those things are very clear. They're black and white. You know, the things we should do with our finances, things that we should do with our family and our marriages, and the things that we should do for our employers, you know, be good employees. A lot of the things in God's word are clearly, very clearly spelled out. But I believe also God impresses upon our hearts to do things. He gives us burdens for things, burdens to help people, burdens to do things in his church, and burdens to help others and take parts in ways. And so when God speaks to us, whether it's very clearly in his word or in Noah's case, as God told him very directly to build this ark, there's a response that's required from us. And very clearly, if we do not respond, that is a response in and of itself. I have here, not currently, but in the most recent past, a young man who at work I had requested to do certain things, and I would ask him to do certain things, and his very nature of not doing them was an answer for me. I knew where he was in his future employment, you know, at our branch because of his refusal to do those things. So that's what I want to talk about, is Noah's response to what God wanted him to do during this time. Genesis chapter 6, we'll start in verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And then verse number 8 is a sweet, sweet verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah, and Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now skip with me down to verse number 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And of course, as you know, God gives Noah the dimensions of the ark and some of the materials and the design of the ark in the following verses. And then down in verse number 18, he tells Noah what he's going to do with him and his family. But with thee, verse number 18, will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And then go down to verse number 22 with me. We are looking at the highlights of God's command to Noah and his response. Verse number 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse number 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Verse number 1 in chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. So the flood takes place, and Noah is eventually told by God to go forth out of the ark and repopulate the earth with specific instructions, and that happened. And then in verse number 20, we see Noah's response to God taking care of him and providing that protection. Verse number 20, And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. So what we see here is the fact that Noah was given a direct command by God to build this ark, and then Noah was given the command to enter into the ark, and he did that. He was very faithful to the Lord, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And this all resulted from the evil that had permeated society. People had become so wicked. Back in chapter 6, verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, keep in mind here, God always has the bird's eye view of society and people and the world in our lives. He knows what's going on. Our country seems to be, at least a good portion of it, seems to be headed toward a desire to go back to, the ways of socialism. You could compare it to maybe even communism. Listen, let me encourage you there. God already knows this is happening. He knew it before we found out about it. He knows what's going on. All of the fussing and fighting in Congress and all the stupidity, it's not a bad word. All this stinking stuff going on up there, God is not surprised with this. He is in charge. And so when he sees situations like he saw in Noah's time, where he saw that all the thoughts and imaginations of men were only evil continually, he reacted by laying a burden and giving a man a command to do something about it. And I want to tell you today that as we are reading God's word from day to day, and as we try to live our faith, and as we try to attend church, don't get discouraged with where society seems to be going, because God knows about it. And God's got a plan. God has a plan to deal with this. And even in our own lives, when our life seems to be just going backwards and we at times don't like where it's headed, God has a plan, and he will give us direction. He will give us commands. He will lay things upon our heart. And let me tell you, based upon that right there, we're going to have to respond. We're going to have to either respond in the positive like Noah did, or we don't respond at all, or we say no. At any rate, God is giving that command because he sees the bird's eye view of what's happening, and he places upon men and women the burden, the command, the authority to do his work, the things that he wants to get done as things get worse and worse and worse. Can I just tell you that that's just human nature for things to to go south. It's just who we are as a people. The older I get, the less surprised I am at how quickly something good can turn into something bad. It seems with very little effort, a trusted politician will go south and become an untrustworthy one. It seems with very little effort, a corporation or a company can start out as a profitable company and a company that does a lot of good into one that does not do the same amount of good. Because don't get discouraged about it, because God's given us His Spirit, and through our faith and through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit leading our lives, we can do something about this. But the very nature of humans, the very nature of human nature, is the fact that things get worse. Evil is in society. Evil is in this world, and there is nothing good there. Things will not get better as long as evil permeates and as long as evil grows. Paul said to the church of Colossians that they needed to learn how to talk to each other. He says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, "Let your speech always be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man." And so we see that it's very important, even in our communications with each other, that our relationships can go south. I mean, you know this. You can feel bad one day and just say something, but somebody takes it the wrong way, or you do something and things go south, and that's kind of the condition. That's kind of an apparent display of what we have to deal with. And one of the reasons we have to deal with that is because Jeremiah 17, verse 9. My brain just left me. My favorite verse that I try to say every Sunday morning just left me. How does that start? That's Jeremiah 17, verse 9. "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it?" Hey, take that to heart. Don't be surprised when you or somebody you love or somebody that you trust goes south in their faith, because they're just being human. Now, I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying, let's be real. And we live in a world that is largely dominated by evil and by wickedness. And fortunately, as a child of God, we can do something against that. We can become stronger. We sing a song around here sometimes. Sometimes we're prone to leave the God we love. And that's a very descriptive phrase for who we are. Sometimes we get tired, and sometimes we get discouraged, and we just want to quit. And so sometimes we find ourselves in that way, and Noah found himself living in an environment that was not good for him as a son of God. He had found God's grace. And by the way, let me just visit with you for a moment about that. Back in the Old Testament, I was thinking about that this week. In the Old Testament, God extended His grace to people for favor, for one reason, for jobs that He wanted them to do. He would extend His grace upon people. But what I want to tell you is, with the coming of Jesus Christ and the free gift of grace that is available unto all men, we can experience God's grace as well. Man, that is an awesome thing to think about. If you just stop for a minute, and if you think, I can go down this street right here, and I can go to any of these houses or any street, any town, anywhere, and I can share the message of God's grace with that person, and if that person will take hold of that grace and will accept the free gift of grace by Jesus Christ, he can be saved. Now, back in Noah's time, God gave it to certain individuals, but now it's available to all. We live in an age of grace. Christ provided that for us. That is a wonderful thing. That's a very positive thing. Now, yesterday I logged into Facebook, which is something I do about once every 3 months. By the way, I don't ever get sideways with me if I don't reply on Facebook, because I hardly ever see it, okay? But I logged on yesterday, and it didn't take no time at all scrolling down that deal to see people upset. I don't know why God would allow this. I don't know why God would let this happen. Hey, listen, you know, life happens. And one thing about life is God's grace is available to all. That's a very positive thing. Noah was a recipient of God's grace, and you can bet God knew Noah's heart, and he knew who he was, and he knew that he wanted to extend that grace to him. Noah found grace in God's sight, and we, you and I, live in a period of God's grace. So God saw what was going on, and God extended his grace to Noah, and he had a job for Noah to do. He said in verse 14, but back in chapter 6, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. So God told Noah to build an ark. And then he told him to get inside the ark. Look in verse number 18. He says, and thou shalt come into the ark, in the middle of the sentence. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark. I've got a plan. I've got a place for you to be. And that's all you have to do is do what I told you. And so God told Noah to build the ark. God told Noah to get inside the ark. And Noah obeyed. Now, this was a very dry time in Noah's time. They didn't have much water. And so it would have been very easy for Noah to start making excuses. A boat? An ark? Lord, are you thinking clearly here? I just don't understand, God, why you would want me to build this boat. There's no sign of any cloud in the sky. We haven't had any rain in a very long time, and there's been nothing going on. Noah had every reason in the world to have excuses, but he didn't have excuses. He simply obeyed. As I've lived these 53 years, and God has laid upon my heart certain things to do, I've had excuses, haven't you? It's easy to have excuses. Well, I know that's what God says. Whether it's a clear command, it's black and white found in the Word of God, or whether he lays that burden upon your heart to do something in his work, maybe for somebody or for something, some good that he impresses upon your heart, it's very easy to say, yeah, I feel like God's wanting me to do that, but this is how I see it over here. God had men write these words in this Bible a long, long time ago, and I'm just not sure that he means for me to live by that verse right there. Yeah, God's impressed my heart to do this, but I'm just not going to do it. If I do this thing, it's going to be uncomfortable for me. Or if I do this thing, it's going to disrupt my life. And if I do this thing, people may poke fun at me. So sometimes we have excuses for things, and God cannot get his work done through us because of our excuses. Now, God's going to get his work done. Do you remember 2 weeks ago, for a couple of weeks, we looked at the life of Pharaoh, and we found that God said, I will get glory out of Pharaoh. I will get my glory out of that man right there. He's stubborn. He's obstinate. He's got a hard heart, and he's not going to listen. And he's got every opportunity to listen to me, but I will get my glory from him, whether or not he gets. God's work will be done. But we have an opportunity to be a part of that. And Noah very wisely observed that he had an opportunity to be a part of this wonderful, wonderful work that God wanted him to do in spite of all the obstacles. Now, the obstacles could be more than just us. It may be our family. The obstacles could be maybe our employer, or maybe any reason at all. In fact, I saw this article this week, and I had to cut it out, and I want to read it to you. It's entitled Noah in America. And it's just a little lighthearted look about if Noah had gotten this command from the Lord today here in America, how it might have gone. So let me read this to you. It's lengthy, but just listen. I'll try not to put you to sleep. In the year 2020, the Lord came unto Noah, who was now living in America, and said, once again, the earth has become wicked and overpopulated, and I see the end of all flesh before me. So Noah, build another ark and save two of every living things along with a few good humans. He gave Noah the blueprints, saying, you have 6 months to build the ark before I'll start the unending rain for 40 days and 40 nights. So 6 months later, the Lord looked down and saw Noah weeping in his yard, but no ark. Noah, he said, I'm about to start the rain. Where's the ark? And Noah says, well, forgive me, Lord, but things have changed. I needed a building permit. I've been arguing with the boat inspector about the need for a sprinkler system. You know, that's the codes these days. My homeowners association claims that I violated the neighborhood bylaws by building the ark in my backyard and exceeding the height limitations. And then we had to go to the local planning committee for a decision and wait on that. Then the city council and the electric company demanded a ton of money for the future cost of moving power lines and other overhead obstructions to clear the passage for the ark's move to the sea. I told them that the sea would be coming to us, but they would hear none of it. And Lord, getting the wood was another problem. There's a ban on cutting local trees in order to save the greater spotted owl. And I tried to convince the environmentalists that I needed the wood to save the owls, but that was a no-go. When I started gathering the animals, PETA took me to court. That's People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They insisted that I was confining wild animals against their will. They argued the accommodations were too restrictive and it was cruel and inhumane to put so many animals in such a confined space. And then, Lord, the Environmental Protection Agency ruled that I couldn't build the ark until they'd conducted an environmental study on the proposed flood. Lord, I'm still trying to resolve a complaint with the Human Rights Commission on how many minorities I'm supposed to hire for my building crew. The Immigration Department is checking the visa status of most of the people who want to work. The labor union say I can't use my sons. They insist I have to hire only union workers with ark building experience. And Lord, to make matters worse, the IRS seized all my assets, claiming I'm trying to leave the country illegally with endangered species. So Lord, forgive me, but it would take at least 10 years for me to finish this ark. Suddenly, the skies cleared and the sun began to shine and a rainbow stretched across the sky. Noah looked up in wonder and asked, Lord, you mean you're not going to destroy the world? And the Lord looked down upon him and said, no, the government beat me to it. Hey, I'm just saying that as God impresses upon our heart to do things, we have an opportunity to do what Noah did. He obeyed God completely. He took God at his word and he decided that what he needed to do with his life was complete obedience to the Lord above, and he decided to do what God asked him to do because he was a righteous man, and God used him in this venture, in this job, in this thing that had to be done. Look back in chapter 6, verse number 9, and it says there, after these are the generations of Noah, it says Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. That word just right there, it just means conforming to an ethical or a moral standard. And I think with Noah, that was God's standard. He conformed himself to what God said, whether or not he understood it or not. It says he was perfect, and that just means mature or complete. That which is entirely in accordance with truth and fact. Noah was just, and he was mature, and he was complete in his faith, and he walked with God, just like his grandfather Enoch. Remember that? Enoch walked with God. God used him. Hebrews 11 verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Listen, Noah was a guy who backed up his talk with his walk. And because of that, God could use him. For that, God heard his response very clear that he had a humble heart and that he could be molded and that he could be formed to do exactly what God wanted him to do. He didn't have all those excuses. He didn't have anything that he allowed would stop him from doing what God wanted him to do, because he obeyed God completely. And so the flood takes place, and Noah has all his animals in the ark, and he has his family in the ark, and then the rain stopped, and the waters went down, as the Bible says. The waters were assuaged. And as a point of gratitude, Noah, in verse number 20 of chapter 8, he builded an altar unto the Lord. It means he was thankful. He worshiped God for what God had done in his life. It says he builded an altar unto the Lord, and in verse 21 it says the Lord smelled a sweet savor. That means God smelled something that smelled awfully good. And it was Noah's obedience. It was Noah's response that, Lord, I'll do this thing. I don't understand it, and I don't agree with it possibly, but I'm going to do it because you're asking me to do this thing. And Noah was able to do that because the Bible says he fellowshiped with God. If you'll remember back in chapters 4 and 5, you see how Cain's wicked family was so bad. And in the midst of all that, God raised up a man who loved God and who walked with him in such a way that God took him to be home with him without this man having to experience death. God took him, the Bible says, for he was not. That means he escaped the bounds of death. God took him and he claimed him for his own without having to go through death. And his name was Enoch. And the Bible says he fellowshiped with God. That means he walked with God and he talked with God. And Jude verse 14 says Enoch witnessed for God according to what God wanted him to do. Hebrews 11:5 says that Enoch pleased God. And let me tell you today, in all the things that God leads upon our heart to do, and he leads things upon your heart, he gives you burdens for things. They might come in as thoughts, or they may come in as a heartfelt burden of some sort. But he speaks with me and you through his word, and he impresses upon our heart to do things, and we got to have a response. It's either going to be a yes, it's going to be a no, or it's a no response, which is also a no. And we need to be like Enoch, who walked with God and who fellowshiped with God in such a way that we had a desire to be with God. Enoch was from a line of fathers and grandfathers that started with Seth, who was Adam and Eve's third recorded son in the Bible anyway. And the Bible says when Seth had a son, that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I was thinking about that this week. What a wonderful heritage. What a wonderful heritage for a man or a woman to have, to be the catalyst or the starter of a bunch of people who sought God's advice, who sought the Lord's favor, and who served him with their lives. And I was thinking, wow, what a privilege Grace Walk has. I mean, we don't think about it maybe all the time, but we have an opportunity to serve at our church, Bible Baptist Church, and we have the opportunity, whether we realize it or not, to be the catalyst, the beginning examples of people who are just faithful. For all who might follow, for all who will see, don't misunderestimate the impact of your faithfulness. You've got all these kids, you know, Sundays and Wednesdays. You've got young people. We got people here, and they are watching. And you know why they're watching? Because they see so much of the exact opposite in this world. Just look at society. So much of society is so much against what we do here. And that's just going to get worse and worse and worse. But don't you forget, you are being a light to people, even though you may not realize it. Here in this church and in your family. There's people in your family that probably don't understand, why do you get out of bed and go down there on Sunday morning? Well, They need to wonder. They need to wonder to the point of being curious. And that may not happen in our lifetime. Did you know that? Our example lives long beyond us. And just think back to those people. And since Georgina's right here, I'm gonna talk about Bean for just a minute. I think about Bean all the time. So faithful to support this work, along with many, many others. Well, Bean's not with us anymore. We're the Bean. You know, we're the Bean. That's who we are. And as we end our lives, and as we grow beyond the ability to be so faithful, like some are right now, you know, they can't be here all the time, that example will and that memory will live on. I love Hebrews chapter 11, examples of faith. So let me just encourage you, as God places things upon your heart, maybe they're clearly spelled out in the Word of God, and then maybe it's not quite so clear. Maybe He gives you a nudge. It's like Valerie sometimes does me with her elbow, just a nudge, you know, just a little nudge. And being with her so long, I know exactly what the nudge is. And let me tell you, as I read the Word of God and the more time I spend in His Word, I know exactly what His nudge is. You know, He just makes it so clear. But the response that I have is that He wants me to take that fellowship, and He wants me to respond just like Noah did and do the work that He wants us to do. Would you pray with me? Father, we do thank You for Noah's example.